Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to look today at yesterday's reading. I'm kind of a day behind. Yesterday, I took a look at Sunday's readings. Today, I want to look at yesterday's readings, which really is the Gospel, chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel, are the Beatitudes. On Sunday, the church gave us these beautiful readings revealing the attributes of God, God's nature. He's merciful. He's kind. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in steadfast love. He's full of fidelity, and he's gentle and faithful. And then we saw in the Gospels the famous reading from John chapter 3, verse 16 and following, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him would not die but would have everlasting life." So Jesus is the full revelation, the fullness of God's revelation to us about who he is. Jesus said, "To see me is to see the Father." And so if we ask the question, who is our Father? What is our Father like? God the Father. It's perfectly revealed in the life of Jesus and ultimately on the cross. He laid down his life for us. He came to rescue us. He came to save us. From the cross, Jesus says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." God is forgiving. He's kind and merciful. So we see the heart of God perfectly revealed in Jesus. And it's the Father reaching out to us through his Son, Jesus, to make it possible for us to come and live as his children, and that would be our fundamental identity. And being able to see God's love and to accept it and receive it as it is, and as I was saying at the end of yesterday's program, to take authority over the lies that fill our minds, the obstacles that stand in the way of our being able to receive and live in and just own and say yes to the Father's offer of his relationship to us and receive the attitudes and the disposition and the character of our God and his constant, merciful love toward us. If we receive that and live in it, instead of falling into the default mode that's so easy for us to see him as distant, angry, impersonal, or that I have to earn his love, and so I'm in this constant battle, this constant treadmill, always falling short. The devil's always present to condemn, so we live under self-condemnation. I'm not worthy. I'm not lovable. Not even God could love me, and somehow I have to fix myself. I have to clean myself up so that I can present myself and make myself somehow lovable to God. There's a big battle that goes on in the human heart. It's part of the fallen nature. It's part of the living in a fallen world in the kingdom of darkness that's still present. And the constant work the devil does, and he's sending out the demons set against us to get at our vulnerabilities. And what we need to do is to say, no, I'm going to stand in the truth. We may feel overwhelmed at times or not strong enough, but I want to tell you today, in the power of the Holy Spirit, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The Lord wants us to stand up in the strength he's given to us. He has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-control. And part of that self-control is to lay hold of the truth. I'm going to speak the truth. I'm going to receive the truth. I'm going to live in the truth. I'm going to communicate the truth to others about who God is. And friends, the more we accept who God is toward us, his love toward us, the free gift of that love and the depth and the totality of it, it changes us. And it becomes the greatest thing in our lives, the greatest treasure. And then everything else, all the idols or the props that we're leaning on or the scaffold we build for ourselves to define a life that convinces us somehow that we're good or that we've achieved enough to merit the right attitude toward ourselves, all those kinds of things. The Lord, just let the Lord bring that all down. Nothing will sustain our hearts and give us the life we need and the constant joy that wants to, the Lord said, would flow out of us and the love that would flow out of us through the gift of the Holy Spirit. The key is for us to accept it, receive it fully, gratefully, who God has made us to be, his children in whom he delights. And our Father is good, and he's kind, and he's merciful. And as we receive this, we receive forgiveness, we walk in his tenderness, we walk in his love begins to change us. We, over time, start looking like him. So what we get today is the Beatitudes. Jesus is teaching from the Sermon on the Mount, and he describes to us the life that he values, the life that the Father wants to work in us through the Holy Spirit, how he wants to walk out the great commandment to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. What does it look like? What does the King of the Kingdom, what does God himself value in human beings? What will he crown? What will win a reward at the end of our life? You know, in this world, we know what the world honors, so people pursue it. You know, whether money, fame, honor, power, sex, whatever it is, people run after these idols, and we know what the idols are, one, because our flesh is oriented toward them, but also because the world honors them. Now, think about the contrast as I just read through the Beatitudes today of what God values, what he wants to work in us, how the Master wants us to live. And he said, if you follow me, if you live in my Father's love, and you continue to say yes to the work of my Spirit in you, this is what you will look like. So consider these things, because these things aren't even on they're not even on the radar in the world. So beginning, blessed are the poor in spirit. Happy are, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, who will receive the kingdom? Who will be able to live in the kingdom here and in the kingdom to come fully, right? As we pass from death to life and live with our Lord. The poor in spirit. Who are the poor in spirit? The people who look to God for everything. To just rest, who rest in God, who trust in God, who surrender to God, who know that the things that are most valuable and attainable in this world, I can't simply attain them on my own will, on my own resources, but I understand that I'm poor. But I understand confidently that I'm a child of God. And in my poverty, I go to the Lord trusting him. And he gives to me what I need to live a life in the kingdom now. So blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. This is an interesting one. For they will be comforted. I've heard this described in many different ways. You know, in this world, we mourn, right? We mourn the death of loved ones. We mourn loss. And we mourn, sometimes we weep over our own sin and our own failing in our response to God. Sometimes I've heard it expressed that we mourn the distance between the poverty of spirit the Lord calls us to and the grasping, compulsive expressions that flow from our life in the flesh, and the distance between the two. And we weep like St. Francis used to weep. We say, Lord, forgive me for my sin. Lord, forgive me for my grasping and my compulsion and my unwillingness to surrender to you. So, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they who mourn. Blessed are the meek. When you hear this word, you may think of weak, like somehow meekness talks about weakness, but no, it's one definition I've always found helpful is that meekness is really strength under control. Jesus said he is meek and he's humble of heart. A meek person doesn't lash out, doesn't seek to dominate, but at the same time, he's not weak and timid and afraid. I mean, Jesus was anything but that, right? Jesus's meekness was a characteristic, a strength with him that allowed him to manage and control and really bring his drives and his passions that were, and the temptations even that came to him, to submit it to love, to the demands of love in any situation. So meekness is really a form of strength, right? And the meek will inherit the land. Now, it's just the opposite of what we see in history. You know, the conquerors are the ones who seem to get the land, right? Napoleon or Hitler or whoever. You know, those who grasp for it, those who dominate, those who refuse to subdue their desire for the land. And they'll walk over people, they'll kill people, do whatever it takes to rule and to conquer. And Jesus is saying to us, look, who's going to inherit? And what's the land that's worth inheriting? What's the kingdom? is the kingdom of God. And who will inherit the kingdom? The meek. It can be tempting sometimes to think like, to get somewhere in the world, you have to step outside of this meekness and be aggressive and go after it in a way that sometimes is very fleshly. And so balancing that out, and the key is to trust God and to trust Jesus and what he's teaching us here and what he values. So blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, and blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What is it that the heart seeks? What do we see in our culture? What do people seem to be most, passionate about? Well, making money, being famous, being comfortable, being entertained, things of that nature. And Jesus said, look, those are characteristics and drives in a fallen world. But happy will you be and blessed will you be if your hunger and thirst is directed toward right relationship with God, the righteousness of the sons and daughters of God, and living in the will of God. You will be satisfied. All those other things we pursue radically won't satisfy us. Next, Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. I mean, the Lord is rich in mercy. He forgives quickly. We pray in the Lord's Prayer. Lord, forgive us as we forgive others. The Lord has us pray that prayer because he wants us to know how central and how important it was. And as I mentioned, right from the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. The people who beaten him and stripped him and humiliated him and ultimately killed him. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. The pure of heart are the single of heart. Those hearts who are set first and foremost on the love of God, the first commandment, the pursuit of God. They will see God. If that's what you want to see, you'll see it. Jesus said, if you hunger and thirst, you'll get it. Next is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. This is the right ordering of relationships, first between that Jesus established with us and the Father when he died on the cross and shed his blood and healed the relationship and brought us in right order with God. And then the peacemakers are those who, out of that relationship with God, we're beginning to order our relationships in peace, our marriages, our family, and every social relationship we enter into. And then blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This one might be the most difficult to understand and to celebrate. Jesus values this. And who receives the kingdom? Those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Friends, we're living at a moment, I've talked about it many times here on the program, where our culture's really turning against, in many ways, the righteousness of God. The values, the commandments, the way of life that God has revealed to us as being consistent with his will, there's things present there that we used to basically agree with, but the culture now is radically turning against and finds God's righteousness, they're offended by. They take offense at it because it doesn't express what they think love ought to look like. So, as his children, as we walk in righteousness, he's saying, don't be afraid, essentially, of being persecuted or being opposed. He said, blessed are you when men insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. This is the way of life that flows from our relationship with God in love. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.